This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 21, just announced and available worldwide on March 20th, 2020, but you can pre-order it today, and you can get it for a 10% discount, and you can get early public beta access on March 17th, and you can get a free gold pack for Perfect Team if you pre-order it today from OOTPDevelopments.com. Just Google Out of the Park Baseball 21. That'll get you there, too. Out of the Park Baseball 21 is by far the biggest and the best version of the game that we've ever made. And that's saying something, because this series has twice won the Metacritic PC Game of the Year. No other game has achieved that feat. I'm not going to throw a ton of feature lists at you. We actually talk about the game later on, but I'm just telling you this. This is what I do for a living, and this is also my passion. And it's amazing to be able to be a small part of bringing this game to market. It is the real deal. And if you love the Press Row Podcast and what we've been doing and will keep on doing, you could certainly help us out by checking out of the Park Baseball 21. All right, on with the show. This is going to be a lot of fun. The Press Row Podcast is back. Welcome back to the Press Row Podcast. It is the first Press Row Podcast of 2020. Brian Wiedei, I said on the last couple of shows that we'd be very likely doing more Press Rows than we had been in the past. That turned out to be completely wrong in every single way.
You could say it now that we're going to be get back into the groove of things now.
But we said it before, so no one's going to believe us.
Well, that's okay. We just have to prove them wrong. It is we're turning things around here as the gaming season kind of starts to ramp up. We've got a couple games really imminent or out already, not necessarily console, but there are several here on the horizon too. And then I think it's going to be a particularly interesting year in gaming, but in sports gaming with the new consoles.
Oh my gosh.
There's still a lot of uncertainty about what that's actually going to mean, which to me is fun, because the predictability of the last couple of years have kind of worn me down. So I'm looking forward to being surprised, or pleasantly surprised, I would hope.
And look, I am too. I am, you know me, Brian. I am, you give me the opportunity to buy a shiny new mainstream video game console, I am on board, right? I'm, you know, as long as like any of us, we're blessed to have the purchasing power, right? Video games it's an expensive hobby, right? But, you know, if you have the wherewithal to get it, and these days I'm very, you know, glad that I do. Yeah, I'm all for it. Give me a beautiful new console. And it's also, you know, the reason, Brian, it may sound almost it may sound strange, but like, I'm excited for the new console generation, but I also, like, if, you know, let's say, you know, you get whatever the new, whether it's the new Xbox or the new PlayStation, you know, day one, right? And there's problems, like there often are, you know, the network doesn't work or things don't connect or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, for me right now, I'm having so much fun playing them. Like, I'll be even okay if, like, that happens, because, you know, these machines are going to be coming in hot. They're going to be working and connecting to very complex networks, and they're going to have a massive spike in demand on day one. Like, you know, you talk about uncertainty, Brian. There's uncertainty with these machines. There's uncertainty with what the specs are going to be. There's uncertainty with what the price is going to be. There's uncertainty now about whether the machines will even be able to be put together, you know, because of the virus situation. Like, there's uncertainty on top of uncertainty on top of uncertainty here. And it's really fascinating to watch. Fascinating to watch. So, yeah, say it's going to be an interesting year, Brian. Yeah. Holy mackerel. Yeah. Is it going to be interesting?
I feel like I don't know what to expect from them. Like, you just went through a great list of questions that remain here that we may not have answers to for a while. But is this going to be like a typical console generation, or is it going to be like what we saw when you went from an Xbox One to an Xbox One X or a PS4 to a PS4 Pro? Is it going to be that you play the same game on the Xbox One as you do as the Xbox Series X? I don't like that name, I have to call it that.
In some cases you will, yes. Because I think a lot of your live service games from this generation, meaning the current generation, they're just going to have a slightly remastered, if not even remastered. And I use the word just, right? Like, I'm not trying to diminish. Like, it takes an effort no matter what. But there's going to be a lot of popular live service games where I don't think, and I don't know, I have no information, where I don't think you're going to play it on a PS5 or an Xbox Next, whatever it's called, and go, oh my gosh, this looks so much different. It might look a little different. It might look the same. I think there's going to be 5 to 10 experiences on the new machines that are going to push boundaries, but I think there's going to be materially, significantly higher number of games that you won't be a wild difference between PS4 and PS5. But I think that's okay, because, you know, it may sound strange, but how much of a leap forward can we really make? Both from a technical perspective, like when you go from 4K to whatever is after 4K, like the TV 8K. The TV I have is kind of really good. You know what I have, right? Like will another machine, like will it pop off the screen? Now, obviously, to people who are really into the techs and into this kind of stuff, they'll be able to point to certain experiences and be like, wow, yeah, that's huge. But to somebody like me, who is, you know, a enthusiast but not a technical guy, I don't even know, you know, what kind of massive leaps forward these things are going to have. And again, I think that's okay, right? I think that's okay. Like, all of this I'm excited for and interested to see, but I'm not expecting nor even necessarily demanding some sort of significant leap forward, at least right off the bat.
I feel like in the past when you've had the leap from generation to generation, it's been many things that would attract like casual gamers in that, wow, look at those graphics, wow, look at what these new games can do with it. And you're right, I don't think we're going to see anything dramatic in that sense, but it is going to be the technical side of things where you see the improvements. And we've talked about this before, where it's going to be, you know, instant loading removed loading times. You're not really going to have to deal with loading times anymore. It's going to be better frame rates, you know, and all these things really on the back end that you're not going to see on the back on the back of a game box, but not many people buy the boxes anymore.
No, they
but
there, don't. It, I don't.
It, I still kind of prefer it, but
I like the old stuff I have. Like the remaining physical games I have, I'm not getting rid of. I've got, I don't know, maybe 100, 200, maybe 300. Mm-hmm. You know, I got them in like 3 or 4 boxes in my closet. You know, Xbox 360, PS3, PS2, OG Xbox. Like, I got a bunch of that stuff. I'm not getting rid of any of that. I did through the years. Like, I used to trade in games regularly, but I'm happy that I have, but I don't think I'll ever buy a physical game again, just like I'm never going to buy a physical CD for music or a movie DVD. Like, that's just not the world that I live in. I just, you know, and I don't mean to sound like obnoxious. No. It's just, you know, the way that I'm not a deep enough enthusiast in any of those to get physical copies and stuff anymore.
So I'll tell you, though, even if it is just those things I mentioned, it makes a difference. When I went from the Xbox One to Xbox One X, it was something I really recognized and appreciated was, you know, loading times that were load into a game of Madden, and instead of a minute 20, it took 30 seconds or something, you know, and it's that stuff adds up. And so if you have practically no loading times, especially people who are playing the Ultimate Team type modes that are in and out and in and out of games and in and out of challenges sometimes that can take longer than that aren't even as long as the loading time to get into them. We've seen that with pretty much every sports game that has that challenge, that difficulty with loading times and finding the right balance and finding ways, like in the show, to have you play multiple games without having in Road to the Show, without having to go back to the menus and things of that nature. So those things matter. I don't know if it's flashy enough to be, you know, the typical generation excitement that you get when you get that that rollout. And it brings me to where I'm not. I'm going to ask you what your plans are, but I'm not certain I'm going to buy both right off the bat. Like I think I'm more likely going to get the Xbox if I only get one. But really, I guess it depends on the exclusives and everything, because the first party games from Sony are some of my favorites, and I'm not going to miss out on those. I don't want to miss out on those. But like with the news that MLB The Show is going to be multi-platform starting next year, so I don't need a PS5 to play MLB The Show in 2021, gives me the option then to get an Xbox Series X, or, you know, rather than get the necessity to have both. Are you planning to get both of them same time?
Day one, give me both. Yeah. And again, It's you know, I have the purchasing power, and I don't know how this comes across, but I don't drive like a really nice car. I have nice stuff, but like I don't spend money like a crazy person, which affords me the ability to spend, you know, I can buy a new console this year. I can buy both consoles, and assuming this is the assumption. Assuming I can get them both, right? I can pre-order them from Amazon. I can have them both delivered, right? As soon as I can get them, you know, without having to, you know, go through like an eBay auction channel, right? I'll get them. You know what I mean? I'm not going to wait online for one, though. Like, I waited outside on a line for like 12 or 13 or 14 hours for the Xbox 360 on its launch day. Like, I've done that. It's been a long time. I don't know when that was, Brian, but I think even with that one,
that was like the first time where I was able to pre-order. They had all the online pre-orders. It was for the Xbox 360. And of course, everyone got the red rings.
Right.
And then had to deal with the return process, which was not fun. But yeah,
it's been
a long time since.
Terrible.
Since I did the stand in line type of thing. That's the last time I did. Early to mid 2000s, yeah.
So I'm not going to do that. But, like, you know, as soon as I can acquire them the way that, you know, most of these kinds of things I get, which is, you know, through Amazon or some sort of electronic retailer for electronics, I'm getting it. Day one, I'm in. I want it. I'm an enthusiast. This is what I love. I want to play the best stuff on the best machines, and as long as I'm able to do that, that's what I'm going to do, right? It's a lot of money, but it's not, you know, tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, look,
right?
People spend $1,000 on an iPhone.
Well, right, and look, movies are not my thing, right? I don't people have their different things that they're into, right? Like, I don't spend a lot of money on hobbies or anything, right? Like, video games is sort of the one, you know, luxury, mm-hmm. really, that I do. And I don't say that like I sacrifice. It's just like that's sort of, you know, with an extremely limited amount of time, I'm glad that I can have a PlayStation 4 Pro and an Xbox One X, you know, and I can, when a new game comes out, I can either play it because I have it on the Game Pass, or I can buy it because, you know, I have the ability to do it. So I'm excited, and I want to see what they got. And I also, by the way, I'm telling you right now, we'll not be the least bit upset if they get delayed after the year. Because all we've heard is holiday 2020. And if it doesn't come out in holiday 2020, I'm totally fine with that, Brian. Because I'm having so much fun playing games right now. Right? I'm having a blast playing games right now, every day, on both of my actually on all three of my systems. Because I play my PlayStation 4, which I'll talk about what I'm playing. I play my Xbox One X. And I play my Nintendo Switch. All the time.
Yeah, I feel very differently than you. I feel worn down by what we've had in recent years. I'm not finding much enjoyment from, and I can't necessarily blame the systems. It may be more the direction some of the games have gone, but I need to explore some other types of games. I mean, obviously the Game Pass and things of that nature really gives you the ability to do that. And that's and I know PlayStation has their own service. I have not signed up for, but I know you guys have talked about it on the Dodcast and everything. And it's other than offering the first party games as part of the service, it's about on par with Game Pass now.
They're both great. They're different, but they're both great. And I pay for both of them. Look, I pay out of my pocket for both of them, and I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons. I think if you go back in the past and you buy a new console, then not only are you spending $500-$600 on the console and accessories or whatever, but you also got to buy some games for it. So there's another 60, 120, 180 right on launch day, right?
Game is very expensive.
The subscriptions.
Always has been. Has been.
The subscriptions really take some of the toll off there, because you don't necessarily have to spend all that money, especially if you buy an Xbox Series X and you have Game Pass. And then maybe they're going to launch, I'm sure, with some first-party titles that you're going to get through Game Pass. That'll be a lot easier to handle on day one. So I'll be curious to see how that happens. But I wanted to talk a little bit about not just the consoles, but this year and what we're looking for from the games, or what we're expecting from the games this year, Rich, the sports games, that is. Is there a particular game that stands out to you later on in the year that you're most anticipating?
No, and I don't say that because I'm not looking forward to it. I don't have the slightest idea what's coming. I mean, I don't know if we go by past experiences. Then this when the new consoles launch, they'll launch in mid to late November, and they will have Madden, and they will have FIFA from EA.
NBA
2K from Take-Two. And that'll probably be it. And if the past is history, those games will not be a dramatic graphical improvement or UI overhaul. Rather, they will be surprisingly good because of the ability to take more advantage of the power of the new consoles, and some under the hood and subtle things will be significantly improved.
Right? So let me ask you, is Madden, is NBA 2K, is FIFA on the new systems, are they going to be different games than the ones that came out on the current generation?
No, because the games this generation weren't different games than the ones before either, right? They haven't changed. And again, I don't mean that in a bad way, right? They've fundamentally been the same games. If you play this year's Madden and you play a Madden from two generations ago, you're still calling plays the same way. You're still, throwing the ball the same way. You're still running the ball the same way. You're still calling.
But they were different feature-wise. If you look Madden 25 on the Xbox. Now I'm losing track of Xboxes. Was it 360 still at that point?
It was both. And that was the one that came out on both.
Right. But they're different games. It wasn't the same game.
The next gen version did not look much better graphically, but was fundamentally a really, really well playing game, especially compared to the version that came out for the 360, which makes a lot of sense. Because you've got basically the same number of people making two games. That's really difficult to do. It's hard enough for people to make one game. Making two, it's brutal.
NBA 2K14 was a dramatically different game on the new system versus the system it was coming off of.
You know, the tragically forgotten good NBA 2K game was the LeBron game on the 360.
That's the one that nobody cared about because the new system version was coming out right after,
And the LeBron story was awesome.
Yeah.
The whole thing, you could go in all sorts of different teams, and oh my gosh, it was so good. So good. But you don't think very different games.
are we going to, what I'm asking is, we're not going to see that this time, right? We're going to see the same
game.
The same game, just like Xbox One to Xbox One X, PS4 to PS4 Pro, so. The same game, but that runs better, essentially.
Yeah. And I'm fine. Yeah. And I'm excited about that. That I'm totally fine with that, Brian. I've been playing sports video games for 20, 30 years. I'm good with, you know, hey, this is a bigger, better version of the game that I love. I'm good with that. Like, totally good with that. Ready for it. Excited about it. Let's go. But I'm also enjoying what I'm playing now. Like, right now, I'm telling you, Brian, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to derail, but like it's still part of the conversation.
Sure.
Right now, for the past 10 days, I have been completely captivated by two video games. Gran Turismo Sport on the PlayStation 4 Pro and Forza Motorsport 7 on my Xbox One X. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but I mean, I sort of know what happened in that, you know, I have played a lot of NBA 2K on the treadmill and a lot of FIFA on the treadmill and a lot of Pro Evolution on a treadmill and a lot of Madden on the treadmill. Not nearly as much Madden because I've been in an online league, so that was not a treadmill game. That was sort of like, oh, I got an appointment, you know, to play a friend. And then we got to talking about, you know, the next-gen consoles, and like one of the things that hasn't been announced but is sort of assumed is that Microsoft is going to have a new Forza, like a proper Forza, launching with the new Xbox. And it's possible that Sony has a new Gran Turismo with the launch of the new PlayStation, although more plausible that there's some form of upgrade of Gran Turismo Sport. So anyway, I went back and I've been playing both of these games, and these two games are both, and I've been doing this on the treadmill. For whatever reason, Brian, both of these games, for me on the treadmill, walking and then getting into the rhythm of just playing these games and doing the races and trying to win and winning a lot, but not all the time. So then trying to win. And then in the Gran Turismo case, there's not just races. There's a lot of challenges, and like some of them are only 20 or 30 seconds. And, you know, it's kind of cool to get into that rhythm of trying to get the gold, you know, instead of the bronze or the silver. And you know, there's just these racing games, these two racing games that are a couple years old, but are still like they're sort, you know, they are the main racing games of this generation, Brian, are both so good in their own ways. And yeah. I've been really just captivated by both of these games. What's interesting is I got the Xbox Series 2 controller a couple of weeks ago.
The like professional.
Yeah.
Heavy duty one, right?
It's yeah. So good. And I'm not.
Wait, you know, how much did you spend on that?
A lot of money. It was on sale.
Okay.
It was $130.
It's
a lot of money. Wow. A lot of money.
You got to be serious into this, Rich.
No, I'm
you really
not
are
into it. I it feels good. It's really heavy. You pick it up, you're like, whoa, man, this is a yeah lot to this. I'm not, you know, there's stuff on there. I'm never going to touch it. It's just, again, I'm lucky that I can do this kind of stuff. It's sort of my thing. But playing Forza 7 with that controller on an Xbox One X with that TV that you told me to get, that's a good situation. And then you play Gran Turismo Sport. Wow, does that game look astounding and play beautifully. Like, they're very different games. Forza Motorsport 7 to me is arcadey, whereas Gran Turismo Sport is not, but
right.
What's interesting to me is, as somebody who is not a racing game person from a technical perspective at all, I've always been the fan of the racing games that are sort of, you know, I don't really need to use the brakes that much, you know what I mean? Like, not serious simulation. And I've never played Gran Turismo games. Those games, let me rephrase it. I was never good enough to play the Gran Turismo games for any length of time, ever. I was terrible at those games. Those Gran Turismo, very hard. I played a bunch of Forza. Always been a fan of Forza. But Forza Motorsport 7. I'm not talking Forza Horizon, by the way. Forza Horizon, no. I'm talking Forza Motorsport 7.
Yeah.
Really deep. I've been playing the campaign. I sort of picked up the campaign. I played, you know, Forza for a while before, then put it down, then picked it up, put it down. But I picked it up again, like I said, about a week and a half ago. And just playing through the campaign, the different types of races. You're racing Formula Ones, then you're racing Subarus, then you're racing Miatas, then you're racing Ferraris, and you're racing all sorts of great real world tracks and things like that. And then you flip it over to and it's arcadey, but not hyper arcadey. Like, it's what I was trying to get to is, like, while Gran Turismo Sport is much more realistic and Forza Motorsport 7 is much more arcadey, they're closer to each other than ever before. You know what I mean? Like, I can actually play. I go back and forth on both, and they're so much closer, but yet they're different enough to where I really do have a different experience with them. And, you know, mm-hmm. where Gran Turismo really shines is in the wide variety of tracks and locations that it has, in addition to the really beautifully defined controls. Like, once you really start to understand what Gran Turismo is about driving, you can really get to a good place. And the challenges that they have, that they put you through in these different series of sort of beginner challenges and intermediate challenges, really teach you a lot. And then by the time you get out on the course, you're actually prepared for what it throws at you. Whereas in Forza Motorsport, you don't need that. You don't need to be trained. You don't need to understand the nuances of here's how to attack this kind of a corner and that kind of corner. You just get out there and you go crazy. And as long as you have the right, you know, braking indicators on, you know, you're going to be good. But they're both. I know I'm rambling here, but I'm telling you, Brian, you pop no. either of these games in right now, you are going to be having a really good time. These games are like at the peak of their power right now.
So how – you say they're at the peak. How are the next ones that come out on the new systems?
I don't know how they can be better, Brian. I mean, I'm sure they can.
What is
going to
happen? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, because these games are so good. But, like, yeah, I mean, obviously you will be. But you look at the details on these cars and the tires, you know, and, you know, there's times that you're driving, and they do this on purpose because they're smart. You know, you're driving on a course, and it's raining. And then after, like, a lap and a half, all of a sudden, you start to see the sun break through the clouds. And then by the second half of the last lap, the sun is now shining through and the puddles are getting a little smaller, and, like, you know, the sky is now pink and yellow. You know, they go to these amazing locations, real world locations, you know, and do this amazing stuff, not just with the cars, but with the weather and the sound. And, man, whew, Brian, these games are so good. Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, if you're in a gaming rut, hop in Forza Motorsport 7 and, you know, just hop in the main single-player campaign. Don't pay attention to any of that stuff. They're both – oh, also, I'm sorry. They're both very generous with their – you know, I haven't spent any money or felt like spending close to money. I have more than $1 million or credits or whatever they are in both games, and I buy cars whenever I feel like it. Right. They're generous with how they reward you for moving forward.
I don't know if racing games are the ones that do it for me. I mean, like, Forza Horizon has been it. I used to play, like, Project Gotham Racing and Burnout games and stuff. But I'll tell you what's gotten me out of those ruts in the last decade. It's usually been, like, like I was saying, the first-party Sony games. Usually it was Uncharted at one point. I picked up, it was just a few bucks not long ago. I haven't started playing it yet, but I picked up Horizon Zero Dawn. And I'm hoping that's the one to get me back into a rhythm here.
Yeah, friend of the show, Mark from the Dodcast, loves that game. By the way, have you played Control?
I have it sitting here. It's another one I got for real cheap, and I haven't really played it yet because I heard you guys talking about it, actually, and it gave me some pause. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it with you guys. You guys were talking about a little bit of problems with kind of direction and understanding where to go, that scares me a little bit because I do not like that feeling. I want to be on rails, to be honest. In most games,
you know, yeah. I'm with you. I completely understand. I finished Control. Okay, so that should tell you something, because I don't finish a lot of games.
If you did, yeah.
All right? With Control, I loved Control. Loved it. I didn't love everything about it. There's a few things that I didn't love, but overall, I loved Control.
All right. I'm going to give that one a shot. Yeah,
give it a shot. Here's my thought, right, and this is how I approached it. I knew it was going to be weird. And I said, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to let, okay, it's going to be weird, and I'm just going to sort of follow along, and I'm not even going to try to be figuring out what I'm, you know, what the meta is here. I'm just going to go with it. And that turned out to be the best decision I made because, you know, there's some people who are like, oh, I you know, who don't like to not know what's going on. They don't like to be, you know, confused, or they don't like to understand, like, okay, this is weird. They don't like that. And I get that because I'm not necessarily a fan of that myself. But I told myself to go with it, and I did. And it's so – this game is so well done. It looks really, really – it's a fascinating visual game. You know, just how the world and the environment is presented to you is just an amazing accomplishment visually. Very, very innovative and interesting. Really struck me. I think the main character, I forget her name, the director, the main character, you know, the protagonist that you play as is amazing. Great character. The story, you know, I won't say anything about the story, but I love the main character. Loved it. Found a lot of it to be very interesting. I'm not a fighting game guy or an action game guy per se, although I do, you know, occasionally play some. I thought the combat, isn't at the top of my list of things in games that get me excited. I thoroughly enjoyed the combat and Control. Once I understood what I was doing with the combat, your character can become really powerful. I loved Control. Again, I didn't love everything about Control.
Yeah.
But overall, I loved it. So if you haven't, you know, give it a go. Give it 6 to 8 hours minimum. You know, it's not like it doesn't get good after 6 to 8 hours. No, it's good. Well, I think hope so. Pretty much from the beginning. But you know, give it an honest shot, and I think you'll really like it.
All right. So there is one game that I've been playing, but it's a mobile game. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But I wanted to ask one question here that I thought was a particularly good one. I got several questions. A few I think we'll save for future shows. One has to do with MLB, the show. And so when we do an episode on that coming up, we'll talk about that. But Carrion 83 on Twitter, he said, what's the biggest thing that needs to be improved heading into next gen from a sports game standpoint? You have a thought on that?
Improved? Well, I mean, okay. Here's what I'll say. I would love to be able to play anything that you can play in the game with my friends. In other words, you know, if there's
cross platform, or you mean
multiplayer? I mean online leagues, but not online leagues, like just online anything, and sort of keep track of it, right? Very easily be like, hey Brian, let's go play a 7-game series. You can take the, you know, the 79 Sonics, and I'll take the, you know, the 2003 Nets, and let's just play a 7-game series by pressing a couple of buttons, and it'll keep track. Or, you know, if I'm going to start a franchise, I'll be like, all right, I'll be the Mets and you'll be the Mariners, and we'll do it. Or if I'm going to, you know, play March to October, you know what I mean? Like if I'm playing March to October, I can be like, oh, I'm playing it, but oh, hey, look, Brian's online. Hey, Brian, you want to be, you know, you want to try to stop me in March to October? Like, again, I'm just like, what could be improved? I mean, to me, that's the only thing, because, I mean, Brian, when online leagues were a bigger part of our lives, they were a big part of our lives. You know, we can go back on this show and we would spend significant amounts of segments excitedly talking about our online leagues, you know? So
yeah,
it would be good. Now, again, you know, we're all at different places in our lives with time and what we do and things like that. But it would, you know, if it were really easy, Brian, for you and me to play a 7-game series in NBA 2K with the press of a button, I bet you we would. You know what I mean? So that would be something I would love to see.
So I think from my standpoint, there isn't really, I don't think as far as the new generation goes, I don't think it's, there's, we're being held back by technology. We're not being held back in that sense. Obviously, a lot has to do with how resources are distributed, and that's a executive decision and developer decision. So I don't think the new generation changes that. It's not going to be, we got a new generation, so now we're getting better franchise modes. You know, I don't think it's that. What I'd like to see, and you kind of touched on it, and then I mentioned cross-platform. I'd like more cross-platform capabilities. So, you know, Rocket League kind of got us into that, and a few other games have followed. But, you know, if I have an Xbox and Rich, you have a PS5, we should be able to play against each other. The other thing is...
I mean, I wouldn't be unhappy if that were the case. But again, to me, that's not my expectation.
Well, beyond that, though, I think, you know, one way to make something like an Ultimate Team more appealing to me and to other people may be to have, you know, you have an Ultimate Team no matter what system you're on. So if I play my Ultimate Team on my Xbox, but then I have a Switch, why can't I continue that Ultimate Team on my Switch? Why does it have to be a whole separate account? I think there's just some potential there as far as not having to... separate everything out by system. That's what I would like.
Yeah, again, I'm not going to argue against that. Not at all, right? But is that an improvement or is that just something new that we can do? I'm with you.
I don't think it's a technological thing. I don't think we've said, you know, if only we had a faster processor, Madden would be really good. I don't think that's the case anymore. You go back to, you know, 15 years ago, going from the PS2 to the PS3 or the Xbox to the Xbox 360, there were a lot of things they couldn't do with those games until they got to the new systems. And same even going from the generation that followed. I don't think we're at that point now where the games are restricted based on the technology. So, like we said, I don't think there's going to be anything dramatic, just kind of more incremental. So that's, you know, if I thought about it more, I might come up with some things, but I don't think it would be, you know, the type of stuff we saw going from generation to generation in the past.
Yeah. Agreed.
One other thing, Rich, EA had their financials recently and they mentioned they have four EA Sports games this year. So obviously it's Madden, FIFA, NHL. What's the fourth one, Rich?
NBA Live. It's got to be. Next generation launch game.
I think it's going to be UFC.
Okay, that would be plausible. I mean, Fight Night's another hope, right? Like that's sort of the dark horse hope.
Well, Fight Night used to be
the showcase technology, launch game.
That is a showcase game. Fight Night was a showcase game. UFC could be the showcase game. UFC, I don't think it has the wide mainstream appeal that a boxing game could. But
I agree. Well, I agree.
It definitely hasn't
sold. It's not the same appeal. They're different games, right? They're very
UFC's,
different games.
Yeah, UFC's sales have... shrunk really with every single edition that's been released, and Fight Night was a big seller. It cost them obviously a lot more to make a Fight Night game, so it has to be a big seller. You know, you'd love to see that just for something new and bring back, you know, it's been a long time and people have a desire for a Fight Night game, but yeah, I know there was a cost rumor out there.
Again, you said the call, like, to, I mean, people want real fighters, and real fighters, I mean, is there a more expensive medium in which to try? I mean, cause boxer, I mean, you look at the guys, you know, Mayweather and, you know, that's that.
Oh, there's a story about Mayweather and how EA wanted him in Fight Night, but his representatives had wild requests. You know, I don't remember what they wanted.
$5 million
and the cover and all sorts of stuff that they would have had just for him. And then you have to pay every single, again, it's just like golf, it's just like tennis. Yeah, it's tough.
And then, you know, legacy likenesses too, right? If you want to get guys from the past, if you want Joe Louis or Rocky Marciano or you know, Muhammad Ali or you know, there's so many great fighters from the past, Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, Thomas Hearns. I mean, you know, the kind of boxers, like if you want to make the kind of games that they used to make, that they used to be able to make, Roberto Duran, I mean, you would have all of those fighters and it would be an amazing thing. Plus you'd have current fighters, but the economics, you know, you'd probably have to pay $70 million in licensing fees to have a puncher's chance, no pun intended. That's wildly impossible. You cannot possibly do something like that. And that, Brian, I'm sure is exactly why there is absolutely no mainstream boxing game, because, you know, the economics must be completely impossible.
Well, you remember 2K's Prize Fighter? They tried. It is tough, and obviously unlicensed is not going to work. So it's really a difficult situation. That's why you see things like tennis and what was the other one I just mentioned? Golf coming from unlikely sources, generally, you know, independent developers and things of that nature, that they may get some licensed people, but I mean, it's not to the extent that you would have to do to make a legitimate boxing game. All right. Anything else on 2020, Rich, you want to talk about here before we move on?
No, I'm good.
No. Okay. Well, let's talk about the game that I've been playing, and I know you played some of. Let's talk about the game that I've seen people talk about as one of the best sports games in a long time, or certainly one of the best sports games on mobile, and it's Retro Bowl, Rich. And it is kind of a throwback game. It has the look of the Tecmo Bowl, and it's, you know who it's made by, Rich? New Star Games, Simon Reed. It is one of our... I think we've declared it as the best mobile sports game ever made, New Star Soccer, right?
It definitely captivated me. I realized that is not the first time that I've used that word tonight. But that game had me for a long time. Really loved that game. And again,
fantastic.
Multiple interviews with him on this show. Multiple interviews. I think at least three. I think there might be three episodes with him. When my fandom of that game was at its height.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, I am not a mobile gaming guy. I tried to be for a while.
I am not.
A lot of the games have shifted towards the Ultimate Team model of sports gaming on mobile. It's just, you got to collect things. You got to pay microtransactions. It's not really about gameplay. It's about collecting and acquiring and all of that. And it just doesn't satisfy me. Now we have Retro Bowl, Rich, which is very, if you played New Star Soccer, it's very familiar, right? But it's got a little more in terms of gameplay.
It's so good.
I've
only played a little bit, and I'm not going to cut you off. I'm going to let you go, but I've played about 90 minutes, and it's so good.
How far are you into a season?
Couple of games. That's it. Not far.
All right. So I didn't start playing this until last night, and I'll tell you, it's because I just did not want to play games on my phone. You know, it's like I use my phone.
Me neither. I don't play mobile games. I don't.
Yeah.
If I'm on my phone, I can't not be doing work-related things. Like, my brain doesn't work that way. My phone is a device for work and communication, period.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I read people are liking it. I looked at the reviews. They're like 4.8 out of 5. Tons of reviews on Apple and on Google. And so I knew it was a legit game, but I didn't want to fire it up for that same reason that you mentioned.
Friend of the show, Mike Phillips, who's also been on the show multiple times, told me straight up, he's like, play Retro Bowl. And I said, okay. And I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, between him and you, you guys both mentioned it to me within relatively, I bet you, within an hour of each other. So I'm like, all right, got to do it.
Yeah. So was it last night or two nights ago? I started playing it. And I am through. Right before we started recording, I finished my first full season. And I won the Retro Bowl. Somehow I was able to pull it out, and I'll tell you, it was not not lacking drama along the way in the so you start out on a team, you don't coaching a team, you don't get to choose the team. Who did you get, Rich?
I got Pittsburgh.
I got Pittsburgh too. So I wonder if that's a default or if it's just coincidence. After the first season, you'll get offers to switch the team.
Before you get to the season, right? Because it tells you when you download. You can download it for free, and then it tells you not right off the bat, but like in the game in like sort of a ticker that, hey, you get like five games. So it's went all the way through, and how much is it?
So it's a buck.
A dollar. That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
No
brainer. That's why I just – yeah, it's a buck. I mean, come on. They also have – you can buy coaching points. You don't need to. I didn't, and I've racked up a pretty fair amount through the first season. But I wanted the challenge. If you buy the points, then kind of defeats the purpose of earning them, and then gradually improving your team.
You know, it's interesting too. In New Star Soccer was international football game, and you would be with. Well, it was international football, right? So you'd have some clubs that were part of the big leagues and some that weren't. But there was, England and Italy. It had an amazing amount of different countries, and not just one league, but multiple leagues. Like it was really an amazing amount of clubs and leagues. So, you could go from all sorts of things. So I'm sitting here thinking, if you won the Retro Bowl in – year one in Retro Bowl, like it's not like you're like, oh yeah, now you're promoted to the next league up. You just did it in the one league, so that's a different dynamic than New Star Soccer.
I think it's there's other challenges that come along with it. I believe the difficulty, and I can swear I felt it as the season went on that the games got more challenging. That the opposition started performing better. It got a little tougher to score, and my defense started giving up more points, more drives. But no, I mean I managed to win the Retro Bowl with a team that did not have very many good players on it, right? So I don't think that is the end. I don't think that it's meant to be easy. I think the first season is probably just easier. I rolled through the first season. I went 10-6, although the last game of the season I kind of tanked. I rested every single one of my players because I couldn't improve my playoff standing. I won the division, ended up with the 4 seed. I won in the wild card round, got a couple players back from injury in the divisional round, and had to face 15-1 Kansas City, right? I didn't think I would get past that one, and it didn't look like I was going to. I was down 21-13 with, I think it was like 40 seconds left, and I had to drive down the field and score and then convert a 2-point conversion, and I did. I think I scored with 4 seconds left. And then I got the 2-point conversion, and then I won in overtime. And then in the conference championship, I'm down 14-10. There was 6 seconds left. I'm at about the 50-yard line, and I throw deep, and I catch it, break a tackle, and I score the winning touchdown as time expires. So that was unexpected. And then I won the Retro Bowl. Man, I'm forgetting how I did the Retro Bowl now. It was another close game, but it didn't have quite that drama. But it was a lot of fun. And these are like 2-minute quarters, right? And the time goes by really fast. You pretty much have to score every drive, or you may be able to get away with one drive where you don't score. So it's a lot of pressure on you in that sense. But it is... not just about the gameplay, obviously, because you've got to build your team. There's a bunch of off the field situations you have to deal with. I had a player who was arrested. He did something criminal. I don't remember.
Oh my.
I think he was. Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but he did something criminal. And then there's other decisions you have to make where you have to choose one thing or the other. Very very much just like New Star Soccer, right? And then you. Offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. You got upgrades to your stadium, your training, and things like that that all help the team or in some way. And then obviously the team building matters. So you actually start in the previous season, you play the last game of the previous season, and then you get a chance to draft. And so I drafted, I don't know what you did, Rich, but in the first round, I traded a couple of players, got a couple extra draft picks. But in the first round, I took a 4-star running back.
Yeah, me too.
And this guy's a stud. He breaks tackles.
Yeah,
it's great. And hurdles guys, stiff arms.
Stiff arms, exactly. The stiff arm is my favorite. And you don't do it. He just does it on his own.
No, yeah. So like you can move them.
I think I cut you off when you were about to start talking about the actual gameplay. Like we accidentally skipped ahead. But the gameplay is really interesting. Interesting. Yeah. By the way, I'm going to make a bold statement, Brian Wheat.
Mm-hmm.
The kicking mechanic in Retro Ball might be my all-time favorite football game kicking mechanic.
Uh-huh.
It's so good. It's good.
I can see that. Although I have a the lowest rated possible kicker, and I can make it if I'm paying close enough attention. I've missed ones where I'm not.
Of course, you're gonna miss. It's kicking. Everybody misses it every once in a while, but it's good because it's like a meter that goes from it just goes up and down and up and down from red to green, and then you tap it when it's green, and then after you tap it, you know, in the green, hopefully, then there's this little triangle in front of you, and there's an arrow going back and forth, and you got to tap it again within the triangle area, and you'll make it. And
is there
it's
a triangle?
It's
I didn't
so
notice
good.
That. I've just been trying to kick it straight.
It's
is there
so
some,
good. Well, yeah. You know, there's a cone. Sorry, there's like a vision cone or something.
So the gameplay is, like you said, it's limited in some sense,
which
but you still
perfect.
Have control over it.
I love that.
So
it's
like,
limited.
So you said you can't stiff arm, you can't hurdle. He does that all on his own, but you can move him up and down as he's running.
And boy,
that seems to create... Yeah, they lose some steam, right?
Boy, they lose steam.
Now, my running back is fast, though. Now, he does 30 or 40 yards down the field lose his stamina's gone at that point. But I've been able to improve because you're earning XP for the players, too. So you get chances to – I don't know if you've been able to upgrade any of your players yet, but you can improve on speed and strength. So I love to get my running back out – and isolate him on a defensive back and he just stiff arms right through him. And then you've got a good 20 yards in front of you in some cases. I also learned real quickly that using him as a receiver is really good out of the backfield, even on short passes, just dropping it off to him. And then you kind of weave your way through.
So let's talk about the passing mechanics. What do you think about the passing mechanics? First of all, it took me a little while. Like when you first boot up the game, listen to me.
Yeah.
Old man. When you boot up the game, after you install and start playing the game, it gives you a little tutorial of how to play, and it starts with passing
not
and
much.
Passing. Right, not much, but you don't need much, right? If it's the kind
I'll
of
tell you the
be,
passing. You're right. I didn't know what I was doing with the passing at first. I threw backwards, I think 5 or 6 straight times.
Yeah,
because I think I was trying to. I don't remember what I was trying to do exactly, but I may have been thinking like, okay, I'm probably going to have to tap on the receiver or something, because I didn't. Unless I missed something, it didn't tell me how to do it. But so, it's like I think of Angry Birds and you're pulling back kind of like a slingshot.
Right.
And the farther you pull back and you keep press down, but the farther you pull back, it's going to target farther down the field and then move up and down to create where you're going to target.
So it's really funny. And it sort of just hit me now is that the first mechanic that you're introduced to is the most difficult, but you don't know that. The first thing that you do is like, okay, throw a pass. You're like, okay, well, to throw a pass, you got to pull back, you got to press down and then pull backwards, and then you got to sort of line up where the arc of the ball is going to a spot on the field, but it's not sort of a exact feel. You got to get a feel for it, and the guy's running, and you know, the first time I did it, it completed. I was like, oh, okay, great, and then I missed like 3 in a row, and then I got some. And then the second thing you do is run the ball. And by running the ball, you have to tap the running back to start it.
Yeah, I didn't know that at first either.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then to run it, you're not actually doing a directional stuff. You're just sort of tapping to move him up or down to try to avoid tacklers and things like that. And then the third one is like if you want to run with a quarterback, You have to sort of tap and press forward and things like that. I haven't done that yet, but what
can you run with the quarterback? I didn't know that. If you can,
you can. Instead of pulling back to throw the pass, you press forward, and that sort of sets it up. But I haven't tried that. What's interesting is the quote unquote hardest thing to do is passing, and they do it to you, introduce it right away, and it's almost. I thought for a minute, oh man, this game is going to be really in depth and complicated. It turns out. Just like New Star Soccer, there's a whole lot of stuff that happens where you're just tapping on the phones, like, oh, they got to midfield. Oh, the game moves very quickly, and you get a play-by-play for a while until all of a sudden now it's your ball on offense. And what I didn't realize for the first game was that you decide whether it's a run or a pass. It just depends upon what if you want to throw a pass, because you can do either a run or a pass on every play. And
you're not picking a play. That's the first thing we should mention. You don't choose a play, but you come up to the line and basically you see the routes that receivers are going to run, and you can choose to either pass or you can select the running back and turn it into a run. Yeah.
But to choose it, you have to either tap on the running back, which then means, okay, it's going to be a run. Running play, and then once the running back gets the ball, you either swipe up or swipe down to move him up or move him down. But otherwise, he's going to do his thing. But I didn't exactly know that for the first couple of games. But then if you don't want to run, if you want to pass, then you press and then pull back, or move from, right to left on the screen. And then you sort of have this ability to sort of gauge where you want to throw the ball to which receiver and stuff, and you can sort of see which receiver might be getting free and which might not be. So there's some real gameplay in here as well, like some real lining it up, because I've thrown interceptions, I've thrown incomplete passes regularly. Like, it's not easy, at least for me in three games.
No.
It's not easy to complete every pass or things like that.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, the mixture of how much is gameplay and how much is not. And and again, you're talking about a lot of stuff that I haven't even got to. I did do the draft, but I haven't upgraded players and stuff. There's a lot going on in this game, but it's really beautiful.
So
the visuals are beautiful and the sound is awesome.
It's cool. Yeah. I was impressed with how well it plays as far as just football smarts, strategically. The first pass I think I completed, I thought I had overthrown deep down the field, and my receiver dove for it and caught it. And that was a really cool, moment. But what I quickly learned was the receivers will go after the ball, so you can lead them. So you don't have to throw it right on their route. You can lead them, and they'll go for it. They'll come back to the ball. Sometimes I'll throw a little short, the defensive back will be playing off, might be 10 yards back. So I'll quickly throw it out to my receiver out there. And then again, you're isolated then in a chance to break a tackle up there. It's almost like a run play. And it's just some really smart stuff that I was impressed with that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see in a game like this. Now we mentioned you don't call plays. You also don't play defense,
which is all I want in a football game.
Yeah, I knew you would love that.
I don't want to play defense.
What I have to, I've played one, that one full season now. And I don't have a grasp on the importance of things like coordinators. Like if I had I just signed a 3-star defensive coordinator here in the offseason. How much is that going to improve my defense? The other thing, is that confused me at first a little bit was you've only got a handful of players on your roster, right? You have like 5 or 6 to start off. And so I was scratching my head at first because I'm like, okay, how do I have a football team with only 6 players? So, I believe what happens is everybody else is kind of replacement level player.
Right? And it says that at the beginning. It's like, hey, here's the 5 or 6 guys you need to care about. Don't worry about everybody else. These are the guys that you need to worry about. There's a big difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference because I had my quarterback get injured and then in came. And so I had to play 2 games, I think, with a backup quarterback. And he did not have the arm that I don't have a great quarterback. I think he was a 2 or 2.5 star guy. But I could definitely feel the difference. I had my running back. I sat, like I mentioned, I sat him in the last game of the season to avoid injury and to get there, because you're managing their stamina too. So he might have been at 92%. Then I wanted him 100% for the playoff game. And so my backup running back's in, and he is slow. He does not break tackles, and he fumbles. And that's something I realized that my starter does not do is fumble. And I was taking that for granted. And he fumbled, I think, twice. So the attributes actually do matter, which is cool. So those players are great. You're dealing with a salary cap. So going into this next season, I just signed a big time cornerback. Hopefully, because near the end of this last season, my team was giving up a touchdown on almost every drive. So that's problematic. Obviously, it made me have to score on almost every drive. I'm dealing with the salary cap. There's a free agent quarterback who wants $38 million a year, and under the salary cap, I could maybe fit it, but then I wouldn't be able to sign anybody else. So I'm trying to figure out what to do there. But so I'm interested in seeing, because I turned down all the other offers. I didn't want to go to another team yet, because I want to see what I can do with this one as far as the players that I got last season and improving them and then bringing in new guys. I'm loving it. It's really fun, and it's like you said, it's quick. The games are quick, so I played that. I don't know what the whole season. That might have been 2 hours or something within a couple of different times I sat down with it to play through that whole entire season and do some off-season stuff. You know, so,
and I should say, too, because, again, I can't be on my phone for more than 90 seconds to 2 minutes without something popping up that I need to do. And a bunch of times I had to stop in the middle of what I was doing and go do something else, and I was able to come back and jump right back into where I was. Now, again, I'm not a mobile gaming expert. That may be how it is with everything, but maybe it's not. I don't know. In any event, I had to pop out of it and then pop back into it. I was right back where I was a few times, which, again, I'm not used to. Again, that may be the norm. That may be the standard. Whenever I turn on my Xbox One X and I it's the game that I was playing, and I click a button and I'm right back where I was, I'm still amazed by that. It was like that was yesterday, and now I am right there, So maybe that's just that how it is, but that's important, right? When you're in the middle of a game and there's a text from somebody that I have a very important conversation I need to have with this person, I gotta do that. That happens, that's constant for everybody, really, not just me, but. So I like that. That was good.
Yeah. So any other thoughts on it?
I'm excited to play more again. I played 90 minutes. Yeah. But it's really good. It's beautiful. I mean, we haven't even talked about how bright and gorgeous it is. It looks like Tecmo Bowl.
Look, and there's. I was surprised.
And it sounds later like Tecmo Bowl, and it's great. It's beautiful.
Look, I got in later in the season. And I'm like, oh, cool. This one, it's raining.
Nice. That's awesome.
And then in the playoffs. Or may have been the last game of the season, and then the playoffs also snow.
Nice,
yeah. That's so great. It's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, and this guy is a great. He's great. He is great. I hope he has. I hope New Star Soccer has made him. Has put him in a position where he can do whatever he wants to do in his life. And I'm glad he made this. This is awesome.
It's legit. So I definitely encourage everybody to download it. Give it a shot. And I think you'll want to pay. Like I wanted to pay that dollar once I got to it. I'm like, yeah, this
please.
Is
please. Yeah, let's go.
This is, yeah. We're gonna have to talk about it more, Rich. Once you get a little farther, we'll share stories and see where I'm at, since I'm now into my off season and I'm not exactly sure where it's gonna take me. So I'm excited to see that, and then we'll talk about how your seasons have gone. And again, man, those games I played in the playoffs were wild endings.
that's what those games were. I mean, come on, I still have a memory to this day. I know I've told it on the show. It's been many, 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 many years though. But when I was in college, and I had my NES, and we had it was eight of us. We all picked the teams, right? You could do that. You could have eight humans or maybe even more. We had to think of it. It was eight of us. We all had our teams on Tecmo Super Bowl, and we played the regular season, and then we played the playoffs, and there was a playoff game I was losing, and I was one of the top seeds, but I was losing, like, it was the an NFC championship game. I think I was the Eagles. The other team was the 49ers. And it was back and forth and back and forth. I was losing. And then near the end of the game, I sacked, I think it was Steve Young, and fumbled. Reggie White picked it up. And you know, he had to do the zigzag all the way down. And I got tackled at like the 3-yard line, did not make it in. And that was the end of the game. And I lost a playoff game. Like, I remember that like it was last year. It was a crazy nutty game. It's fine that's what it should be, because that's what, you know, the games used to be, and to some degree still are. You know, that's what video game sports games are all about, is that nuttiness, craziness, wackiness.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy. You know, this is a game kind of again, if it's getting me to play it on my phone, that tells you that it's actually quite good. So I'm glad you enjoyed it too so far, and like I said, we'll have to talk about it more on the next show. We'll see where we're at and how things have developed for us. Rich, one more thing. This is not the advertisement portion of the show, but I'm curious. I know Out of the Park Baseball 21, you know, for not 2021, but the 21st edition. That's correct, right?
That is correct. The 21st edition.
Yeah. Yeah. What should I be excited about this year with the game? I know it's out for pre-order now.
Yes.
Tell me what, because, you know, over the past few years, you guys have had some pretty big announcements for the game far as like licensing and then Perfect Team.
Yep.
A lot of stuff that's been really exciting for you guys. What, with this game coming out in March, what you got on tap?
Well, the short answer is a lot of what people that love Out of the Park Baseball love, a lot more of that, and a couple of really cool things that I don't think anybody thought that we were ever going to do. And one of those things is a 3D ballpark construction kit, which is something that the longtime fans, and there are many longtime fans, and when I say longtime fans, we're talking 5, 10, 15, 20 years. There are some of these fans in the
maybe 21 community. Years?
Absolutely. No, there are some. Yeah. I'm not even joking. Yeah. There are definitely some. You know, but you know, there's guys from OTP 5, 7, 9. We're talking a long time. Who every year and have been in the forums forever and been following us forever. This is for them, because it's something that we've always wanted to do. And when I say we, I mean way before I even got there, they always wanted to do. You know, 3D. You know, you play a game of Out of the Park Baseball 20 right now, and if you actually play the baseball game, and I'm talking, you know, the management part, right? But when you actually just, you decide, okay, I'm going to manage the game, or at least, you know, I'll you know, because you can go pitch by pitch, or you can go batter by batter. You can say, well, let me go to the fourth inning or the top of the fourth, or let me wait till something's going on or someone's on base or whatever. But, you know, you can play in a 3D stadium, and now there's actually players running and catching and jumping and throwing. Like, that didn't even exist 2 or 3 years ago. There was no 3D stadiums that long, all right? So, but, you know, to build your own stadium for the 3D stadiums is something that's for them. It's for the longtime fans. And it's, you know, it's really a big deal, and it's a lot of effort by a lot of people. And I'm really hoping that it's I'm really excited about the reception for it, and it's also going to be a living thing. Like, this is something that is version 1.0 of this that's going to be at release, but it's going to be getting a bunch of free updates over the course of the year. So it's something that's going to continue to be worked on, you know, moving forward. So going to get a lot of feedback, because there's a lot of nuance and subtlety of this stuff. So that's one thing. And another thing, Brian, and this is going to sound, it might sound silly, but one of the big, you know, sort of what would you, Brian Weed, I get excited about, there's a big green button that says continue now. But the reason I say that is because we built in this, you know, we call it game flow. We built in sort of a guidance system. Because Out of the Park Baseball is a very big game. There's a lot that you can do. Even just if you're like, okay, I'm going to take the New York Mets at the start of the 2020 season, right? It's opening day. Here I am. Okay. let me look at my finances. Let me see what
good I'm, luck with that, by the way.
Well, right. You know, let me yeah. see what my lineups are. Let me see what my pitchers are. Do I want to, who's in the minors? Like, do I want to bring somebody up? Do I want to move this guy? Do I want to do a trade? You know, do what do my finances look like? What is, you know, just running a team. You have all of that kind of stuff. But there's 100 things that you can click on or 100 different things that you could potentially do. But there's now, for the very first time, going to be a big green button that says continue at the top of the right, and it's going to say continue, and right below it's going to say sort of what the next thing is. And if you hit that button, it's going to take you to the next logical thing for you to do. And it's not going to let you accidentally skip important stuff, and it's also going to guide you to, well, okay, well, you just started the season, so why don't you do this? Why don't you look at your lineup versus left-handed starters and then versus right-handed starters. Are you good? Okay, great. Now let's look at your pitching rotation. Oh, do you want a recommendation? Yes, here's our recommendation for what you should do. Okay, now, next, we're going to bring you here. And what's cool is it's not just a one-stop shop. You can go to a menu and say, okay, here's what I want the continue button to bring me to, and here's what I want it to skip. Because, again, there's a lot of stuff that goes on during the course of a season. Your scouts might want to talk to you, or your general manager might have a recommendation, or you might get a trade proposal. You might want to look at all of that stuff, or you might say, you know what? Only bring this to my attention when somebody gives me a trade proposal, but let my assistant general manager handle everything else, and then when you hit the continue button, you'll be brought to there. Or my point is, Brian, we, for the first time ever, are giving someone an option when they're looking at a screen, and if they don't know what to do next, if they click on that button, we'll bring them to the next place that's of interest to them. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
It is because I remember going back many years, the first time, you know, I had played management baseball games before OOTP. I forget what they were called. But I mean, I think going back until to the 90s, well, I played some. But
micro league baseball defined my life, man, and I didn't even realize what that would mean in 2020 as I'm making these games for a living, right?
Yeah, so
micro league baseball in the 80s, completely, third time I'm using the word, Brian, captivated me. I was I loved micro league baseball, and that's what this was exactly.
Well, yeah, I was just I was going to say it's. I think it's important because you go back to the you fire up Out of the Park Baseball, and there's so many different directions you can go, and even once you choose one, you're right. There is so many different things you can do that it can be intimidating, and I think having some guidance is probably going to be really beneficial to a lot of people.
And we're going to get feedback, right? It's one thing for us to say, here's where you should go, but we're going to get feedback from a whole bunch of people that's going to say, hey, could you add this, or could you change this, or right? That, which is,
where do you get that feedback, Rich?
Oh, we get it on our forums. We get it on our Discord, right? Our forums and our Discord especially is
really, okay,
really active. There are 5,000 people in our Discord. And there are active conversations going on at all times. Right? If you
how many are nice to you?
All of them. We have the best, dude. We have the best community.
That's how you know it's a good game.
Right? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We have the best community in video games. I'm not saying that as a, you know, as a guy who works for the company. I'm just saying it. It's true. You don't need to listen to me. Go check it out for yourselves. It's amazing. These guys are unbelievable. I stream a couple of nights a week. Brian, I never used to stream. I stream a couple of nights a week on our channel. And a really wonderful core group of Out of the Park Baseball fans shows up every single time. And we talk about how to play the game. And I'm doing a franchise on Tuesday nights. And I'm doing my perfect team on Thursday nights. And they're helping me. Like they are literally live helping me because they know the game better than me. And they love the game. And I love the game. But Brian, this game is so big and so deep. You could, again, there's a lot that you can do in franchise and perfect team, and it's so much fun to discover it. Like, because I don't have to hurry through anything. I'm just we're I'm doing a franchise every Tuesday night, and my buddy Alex is helping me because, again, he's an expert, and we're just going through and some of our streams, it's like, okay, well, this was basically the equivalent of an hour of a general manager's day. And some of the streams, like, well, that was just a month. We just went, we did a month. But we're just, exploring the different parts of the game, because there's so many. And so that's another thing that's been amazing, is the community. So we're going to get a bunch of feedback on our forums and on Discord, and it's going to make it even better. That's one of the great things about Out of the Park is the community, and it makes, you know, to jump into doing this full time, where this is everything now, I wouldn't have done it if this community wasn't what it is, right? It would have been too much, and I mean, I'm not saying it was the only reason, far from it, but I mean it was a big part of why I did it.
Awesome. That's exciting. Another release coming up in March. What's the release date?
March 20th is the release date, but you can pre-order it now. You get 10% off, and you get the game actually delivered to you digitally on March 17th. That's the public beta, and then it goes from public beta to worldwide release on March 20th. And I am incredibly excited. We're all excited, and I hope everybody gives it a shot. It's really, you know, you hear people say it all the time, so it loses its meaning, but it is the best Out of the Park baseball ever. And that's saying something, because this is a great game. It's a great series. It was like that before I got here. I'm honored and proud to be able to represent these guys. You know, it's something special to be able to work for and represent something that is good and that many, many, many people know is good and is respected. It's a wonderful feeling. So I hope everybody gives it a shot, because it's really good.
Can you expand the playoffs so the Mariners can make the playoffs?
Absolutely. That is an easy setting, my friend. You know, an easy setting.
Yeah, it's funny. They mentioned some of the MLB changes that could be coming and the extra playoff team. And going back, you know, Mariners haven't been in the playoffs since 2000. You know, it's like, what is it now? 18 years. 2003.
Was it when they won the 116 games? Was that the last time?
No, I think if I remember right, they got in the playoffs in 2003 also. That was 2001.
Okay.
So either way, it's like 17, 18 years. But if there had been an extra playoff team, the Mariners would have made the playoffs, I think, three or four times in that span. Because there were several seasons where they won in the mid to upper 80s, but just missed out.
Right.
And it's so that's kind of a weird, like, alternate history where the Mariners had made the playoffs kind of fascinates me.
Well, Brian, I mean, that's, and I'm not,
like, I know, chilling. I know.
That's in the game. You can absolutely, you can pick any season ever and you can say, okay, here's what the league settings are. And you can change it to be like, oh, here's a different playoff system. You can configure that to your heart's delight, and you could absolutely
that's
do
insane.
That.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
Yep.
It just amuses me. Baseball.
That might be a series we might want to do. Maybe I could get you to join me for like a little mini 2 or 3 week series, and we can explore what that would be like. What do you say?
We'll do something with that. I am excited, not necessarily for this Mariner season to be anything special, but the young guys in the organization are exciting. So even just to see them in the game, see what you guys have them rated and how they develop in the game. I'll be curious to see for the years ahead, because feels like they're a year or two away from being good, which is kind of exciting for me, even though I have to wait.
You know what's amazing? And I realized this a few days ago. For the very first time ever, Brian, now baseball is my job.
Yeah.
I'm going to see more baseball this year than I probably have in the last 20 years combined. And I've seen a decent amount of baseball, because every single day. Because now, Brian, I used to travel the country constantly. And when I wasn't traveling the country constantly, I had a 2-hour minimum commute, daily commute, back and forth total. I'm gone from that to literally now my desk in my office upstairs in my house is North American headquarters for Out of the Park Developments. And so I've got my office, and because of what I do, I've got, you know, the two TV situations. You hooked me up with this TV I have, right? The top TV is going to have the MLB.TV app up and running all day, every day. connected mm-hmm. through either the PlayStation or the Xbox.
You got like the multiple boxes for
The bottom like TV is going to be whatever's a baseball games on cable, because there's always baseball on cable, right? And then I'll have probably an iPad on my desk here with the the MLB.TV app, running whatever game is the second game. Like, I'm going to see baseball every day. It's part of my job. Yeah. It's amazing. It's so exciting. I can't wait. Ah, it's going to be so good.
It is that time of year. It's a lot of fun coming up, and I'm glad we got to get back together, Rich, and get things going again. It was fun to get to talk about it. I'm really looking forward to the more games coming and interesting news and stuff that I'm anticipating will be happening in the months ahead. And
buckle up.
Yeah, MLB The Show next month, and Out of the Park Baseball next month, and we'll see. We'll go from there. It's going to be interesting, at least, which is welcome. I'm looking forward to it. And so, thanks, Rich. I'm glad we got to talk again, and we'll do it again soon. Coming up, we'll have plenty more to talk about.
Sounds great. Can't wait.